And we know Paul Harvey in your generation, a lot of people don't. Bobby Sparks used that at an event here at the church. That was recorded 61 years ago in 1965. And it sounds like today. Amen. If I were the devil, I need your prayers today. Anytime you start preaching what I've been studying and preaching, the devil tries to have a heyday. But I just need to say something as I get started today. I'm not here to edify, lift up, glorify, take any praise away from the Lord Jesus, because I know already that Satan's a defeated foe. Amen. But so many don't. And as we work through some of the things that we're going to be working through, I never was in the military, but I do know this, that there's a lot of study that goes into examining your enemy. You're on a search to know how to defeat your enemy. If we don't know how to defeat Satan, we'll never defeat him. We'll stay in the same condition that we've always been in. I'm going to go back into Luke just for the text today, the Luke chapter number 4, and then we're going to talk about some stuff, and I will not keep you any longer than necessary today, and I'm going to review just a little bit, and then we're going to jump right off into this morning. So today we're going to talk about, again, spirit wars, uncovering the darkness. I'm going to start in one place and I'm going to end up somewhere else. So just bear with me for a little bit. Got a lot of stuff in front of me, so I feel like I'm going to be in a teaching mode today, like our Wednesday nights, more so than in a preaching mode. So y'all just bear with me today. Luke chapter number 4 is where we're going to go. Matthew also talks about this as well. But I want to talk about one certain element of this today. I got up to that point last week, and I didn't get any further than that. But in Luke chapter number 4, verse 1, the Bible says, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. In those days did he eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward were hungry." Now this is where I want to pick up today. It's on the satanic ifs that we look at as he attempted to tempt Jesus. If you'll remember last week, I talked about temptation just a little bit, and I'm going to pick up there again this morning. When you look at this in this scripture, he tempted Jesus, and then he says, "If thou be the Son of God," like Jesus didn't know who he was, "command this stone to be made bread." John chapter 1, verse number 14 says these words. When you look at that, the Bible says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." We know from reading those texts together that no doubt in my mind, Jesus was as much man as he was God's Son. He was no doubt in my mind hungry. When I began to think about this, I thought about one of the first things the devil, and again, I'm not here to glorify the devil, I just want to shine some identity on him tonight, or this morning, is The Bible talked about this last week, and I might as well go ahead and hit this before I get too much further into that. The Bible says that in 1 Peter 5 and 8, we mentioned this last week, that we're to be sober, to be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. There's one objective on the devil's mind, and we're going to see that in just a few moments. When we are children of the Most High God, we are ambassadors. We're representatives of a kingdom not known to this world. Satan is identified throughout the scripture as the prince of darkness. The Bible says in John that men love darkness rather than light. When we begin to look at the tactic of the enemy, the first thing that we begin to look at, and just kindly follow me through this whole entire message today, and kindly think about your own life, think about what you're going through right now, think about maybe the last little bit of your life. But the first thing that the devil did, he hit Jesus at his weakest moment. No doubt Jesus was hungry. And he tempted him at that time with what, no doubt in my mind, that Jesus would probably have liked to have had. He would have probably, Brother Robert, would have liked to have had something to eat. But yet when he answered him in our text, we can see how that Jesus came back and he answered him, because at that time the enemy was trying to get Jesus to overt his authority over God's authority and get Jesus to the place where Jesus was unyielding to the Father and more yielding to the flesh. I'm not going to get into it this morning. It'll probably be next week. That's what I'm thinking. Probably next week I'll get into Ephesians 6, where it says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We'll probably get into that next week. But when we begin to think about Satan, Jesus was able to come back, and he says this in verse number 4. And Jesus answered and said, "It is written that man shall not live by bread alone." And this is a key element in this message. But he said, "But by every word of God. Other places he says that it's by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And there's another part of that I could get into it. I'll save that as well. When you go on and you begin to read in verse number 5, he says, "And the devil taketh him up to a high mountain and showed unto him the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give unto thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me." Remind you that Satan is the prince and power of the air. When he fell, he was given dominance and control. Not total dominance, not total control, but we understand that he is as a roaring lion going about seeking whom he may devour. I was reading, again, I've read a lot and tried to put it together the best way I knew how, but one of the things that I was reading is simply this, that you and I, in and of ourselves, are really no competition as it pertains to the enemy, because the enemy, he's wily, he's trickery, he's subtle, and we'll talk about that. That's why Jesus kept referring back to the Word of God, the Word of God, the Word of God. It is written. He always took the devil back to the authority of the Word of God. And in this, we begin to see in verse number 8 where he says, He delivers a message unto Satan in verse number 8. And he says this in the word. And he said, and Jesus answered, he said, and I missed verse 7. He said, if thou will worship me, all of this shall be mine. Let me talk about verse 7 for just a minute. Verse 7, the reason I believe that this is in there, you can go back into Isaiah and Ezekiel again, and we'll get into that later as well, is that there is a description of Satan that is described that he had pipes in his chest. And he was a created angel, and he was a very powerful angel. And this angel was the, according to our understanding, one of the ones that brought the most highest praise unto God in God's throne room. Now again, I'm not getting into that today. I'll get into that next week most likely. But yet, when you look at Isaiah and Ezekiel, one of the downfalls of Satan himself is he began to say that I will ascend above the throne of God. Jesus said, and I beheld Satan fall as lightning from heaven. We know that he is a fallen angel. We know that he is a fallen being that was created. Amen? He is not omniscient. He is not omnipresent. He is not co-equal with God. Satan today is already a defeated foe because he is a created being. So when we look at this Jesus, he tried to get Jesus to worship him. He tried to get him to give him his praise or his obstinance, if you will, his bowing down, that he would bow down before him. That's what he's always done. That's what he's doing to people today. When we begin to look at this, again, we talk about this word temptation for just a minute. We talk about how that the commentary said that how that the devil even prowls all the earth even now, doing everything that he can with his commanding the host of demons that he controls, trying to enslave men, women, boys, and girls without them following the opportunity to follow Christ. Again, there's scriptures that I'm going to skip over to really get to where I want to get to today. Sin, we think about this, we think about the temptation. I wanted to talk about that for just a few minutes today. When we think about temptation, temptation is described by its very nature as something that feels contrary or not right to you, or something that's not right within your heart, if you will. And there are many philosophers, and there's many writings, there's many that I've even read about over the weekend getting prepared for today, that again, I mentioned this briefly last week, that they try to minimize Satan down to nothing more than a force that takes place in humanity rather than an actual created being. But yet we understand that God has a moral law. I talked about that on Wednesday night for those of you that were here. When we think about that, we think about the moral law that is written upon every man's heart. We think about this and how that again, that this moral law is the guiding template, if you will, that will keep man from temptation. When we think about the consciousness again, we think about the consciousness of man in temptation, and we actually sense danger at that time. Now, there's a couple of things about temptation I want to talk about. First of all, temptation in and of itself is not wrong. Temptation in and of itself is not sin. And the reason I say that, if temptation in and of itself was wrong, or temptation in itself was sin, Jesus would have sinned here in this temptation. But yet there's several verses of scripture that I want to talk about in the James chapter number 1. James chapter 1, we're going to look at verse 12 first. There's a lot of scripture right in this little area of the book of James. And he pronounces, when he opens this up, he said, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to all of them that love him. So James again teaches us that if we will endure temptation, Jesus endured temptation. Jesus went through a season of temptation. And let me submit unto you today that there is not a person under the sound of my voice, no matter how young you are or how old you are, at some point you will be tempted to do something that is wrong. But inside of your heart, if you will listen to your heart, there is a moral consciousness inside of your heart that's going to teach you right and wrong. We call that the Holy Spirit that is active in the life, that is active on planet Earth even right now. I mentioned this last week. I'm going to mention it real fast. The day that I was tempted, probably the worst I'd ever been tempted to drink of liquor, there was an evil force, no doubt, that was there with me. And the Holy Spirit was there with me as well. I didn't even know it was the Holy Spirit. Brother Robert, I didn't even know what it was. But yet in that moment of my temptation, when I knew what I was doing was probably not the right thing to do, listen to me, folks. The Spirit of God spoke to me. I didn't even know what it was. I didn't know it was the Spirit of God. I had a bottle of tequila in my hand, getting ready to drink a drink of it. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, "Is this what you want to be the rest of your life?" I was 16, 17 year old, unsaved, didn't know nothing about salvation. But somehow God got into my heart that day and asked me that question. And because of that day and because of that question, because of that one moment, I've never taken a drink of liquor in my life. And I thank God for that. But it was a moment of temptation. I'm not going to tell you that I've not done other sinful things when I was a younger person. And probably like Brother Scott, since we've even been saved, we've had problems, right? But in this temptation, I want you to get through this. This is where we're going to be the rest of the time probably. He said, "Blessed is that man that endureth temptation." When you're under temptation and you know it's temptation and you know it's a temptation to be wrong, one of the things I was reading earlier, just skimming through a lot of reading, is you've got to be just like Joseph. When Joseph's wife was accusing Joseph of committing adultery with her, Potiphar's wife. Thank you, honey, babe. I'll get it together in a minute. But anyway, I have to have my helper. But when Joseph was there, the only thing that Joseph knew to do is what? When you undergo temptation, Potiphar's wife, he was the man. He was the man of the house and marching over the house. But what did he do? He skedaddled. He got out of Dodge. He got out of there. Sometimes the Bible teaches us that we have got to submit ourselves therefore unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee from us. Are you with me today? Amen. Neither give place, Ephesians 4:27. An elderly man, when I was a young preacher, he said, "I know how to handle the devil." I'm thinking in the back of my mind, Sister Betty, do tell. Tell me how to handle the devil. I've been waiting on this all of my life. I'm getting ready to teach somebody something. This is how you, Buford Birchfield, I said, "Brother Birchfield, do tell. I want to know how to handle the devil. I mean, I am ready. I'm ready to go." Ephesians 4:27, then we'll go back to James real fast. Ephesians 4:27, this is where you got to get a hold of this. He said, "Neither give place." When Jesus, in his temptation, he did not yield his vessel to the devil. I got a lot of time. I don't have a lot of time, but if I had a lot of time, I would go over to the book of Romans. I'm not going there this morning, but it says in the book of Romans that who you yield your members to, that you are the servant thereof. So how do you handle the devil, Buford Birchfield? He said, Ephesians 4:27. Say that with me. Ephesians 4:27. Now say it again. Ephesians 4:27. One more time. Ephesians 4:27. Neither give place to the devil. Don't let the devil have a seat at your table. We could stand and go home right there. It'd be a 20-minute sermon. Neither. And again, I have to preach off the cuff. I've got notes, but I got my heart. I want you to look over your life over the last 2 weeks. And I want you to look at the moments that you've been in temptation and the moments that the enemy's tried to get you to do something wrong. Young people, you're not exempt from this. I do not spend enough time talking to our young people. I was once young. What you laughing at? You say you're the one running around in tennis shoes because your feet hurt. Yeah, that's about the truth. I was once young, and I know what I went through. Can I just be a little ugly for a few minutes? Thank you very much for permission. I said it last week. I'm hung up on it. I'm going to meddle. I'm going to wear it out. These crazy, can I say the word stupid? There's not too many kids in here today. These crazy, stupid smoke shops that's all over this town is nothing but entry-level legal drug stores to get young people on drugs. You can go to convenience stores. You can buy CBD. They say it is anyway. You can go to all these places around town, and you can buy all kinds of bones. You can buy all kinds of stuff to put into your body. Can I give you the best information that I'm going to be able to give you today? Before you go to a smoke shop and get you some CBD or get you a hit of Mary Jane or some of that other stuff they used to call it years ago. The old people know what I'm talking about. Say amen right there. Before you go down that path, why don't you try Jesus? I'm trying to help you today. I'm trying to give you a foundation that's going to help you through your life. The temptation is going to be there. Being tempted is not wrong. But when you yield to that temptation, yield means to give yourself over to another. When you yield yourself over to the devil's going to take you further than you're willing to go, keep you longer than you're willing to stay, and cost you more than you're willing to pay. I tell my kids that. I've told my daughter that recently. I'm going to tell my grandchildren that. And these things are nothing more than gateway to deeper and more trouble down the road. And that is why I am so much against these stupid smoke shops all around this town. I asked a former runnee for the government of Thomasville, the city council. I asked him this question. I said, how can they just keep doing this? He said, because they're opening them under the guise of they're smoking tobacco and all this stuff. I said, you know and I know they're not doing it. He said, but you can't do anything about it. I can do it as a preacher. I can say something about it as a preacher. Young people, listen to me. Listen to this old gray-headed man with a gray beard now. Stay away. Stay away from drugs. Stay away from tobacco. Stay away from all of the stuff that's going to lead you into a life that's going to keep you in bondage all these years. You say, well, I don't like preaching like that. Well, I don't always like to do it either, but God tells me to do it, I got to do it. When you go back into James again, he tells us this in the scripture in James 1 and 12. He said, blessed is the man. You're going to be blessed. That man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall. Somebody say shall. Receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Next verse 13, really quick, we got to hurry. When you look at this, he says, let no man say that when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. It's not God tempting you. Well, there's either God or something else. What is it? The pure old devil. The evilness of our world today. And he said, let no man say that when he is tempted that I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil. Neither tempteth he any man. Jesus was tempted on that 40-day fast when he had consecrated himself to God. The greatest, that ain't the right word I need. The most troubling time that you'll ever be tempted is the time that you try to devote yourself to God. I studied this last night and I said, I wasn't going to say this. Lord Jesus, help me. I studied yesterday afternoon and I studied all this stuff and it was all in my mind. I went to bed. I thought, I was trying to study last night and it's just all jumbled up. I thought, okay, I've studied and I've got it and it's in my heart. And I went to bed and I wallowed to bed all night long. All night long. I told Andy and Brenda, I said, I don't know what it was. I said, I dreamed all kinds of crazy dreams. I was awake from 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock. I was praying for the church. I was praying for the service. I felt like I was fighting the devil. Not really, but in my mind I was. And I was thinking, oh my goodness, I don't even know how tomorrow is going to turn out. I got up today and I put on casual clothes to come on a Sunday morning and preach. I mean, it was just like, oh, I got to feel better somehow or another. But it's like, I guess in reality, some people would paint you a picture of this pie in the sky, easy cheesy Christian walk. But man, you're in warfare. I mean, you're in the trenches. You're in the trenches. I remember a time in my life I was really going through a very hard time, really difficult time. Really difficult, not at this church, at another place. And Tim, I had a dream, and in that dream, I literally saw two men in that dream. In that dream, I seen a man that was muddy, a man that had a bandana around his neck. He was in the trenches. It's like he was in the mire and just wading through trenches like he was like a filthy man just walking through the trench. And then in the same dream, I seen a man with a suit on. I seen him with his hair trimmed and carrying a briefcase. And at that time, the Lord spoke to me, and I had a very difficult day the next day. God gave it to me, and I've remembered it. And the Lord spoke to me, and he said, one of these two men is going to walk out of that church tomorrow. Which one are you going to be? And I squared my shoulders, and I dealt with what I had to deal with. Sometimes, my friend, you've got to, and I'm getting into next week, and I don't really want to do that right now, but sometimes you got to put on the armor of God. You got to make your mind up. You got to plant your feet. You got to square your shoulders. You got to look the devil in the eye, say, my foot's on the rock and my mind's made up. Come on, somebody, and say, I'm not going to do this today, devil. Greater is he that's within me than he that's in the world. But it don't stop the temptation. But when you are tempted, I want you to stop and evaluate the situation and say, this ain't God. This is the devil. When Jesus did this, stay right where you're at. When Jesus did this, we see what Jesus said. And we look at this in the scripture in our text where he says in verse number 8, Jesus answered and said unto him, look at what he said, get thee behind me, Satan. Not today, devil. Not today. I'm a child of God. I'm covered with the blood. I'm a blood-bought child of the living God. I refuse to bow to you. I refuse to bend. I refuse to lower my standard. Greater is he. Not today. And you think, well, you're getting plumb. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. If you're not determined to stand opposed to evil, evil will take over your life. Evil will overcome you. You say, well, you're sounding like now that evil is stronger. Evil is stronger than you without Jesus. Hello. So we have to do this. And if this ain't your kind of preaching, I'm sorry. Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written. Take him back to the Word of God. And then we begin to look at this. It begins to say this again, this next verse in verse number 14. I want you to look at this in James again, James 1 and 14. When you look at this, he says in the word, when we get there. It's okay. I can turn there. But every man is tempted Watch this. When he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. You got to come tonight to hear part two of this one. I'm not going to save it till next Sunday morning. I'm going to do it tonight. So stay with that and then tonight. But he says, when he's drawn away. Now, if I had another extra 30 minutes, which I don't have, we'd talk about that drawn away for just a minute. Let me give you a little hint of Genesis 3. We're not going to turn there. We're going to do that tonight. When the serpent came to Eve, and Eve and him begin to have this conversation, I'll pick up on that tonight, God willing. And he's enticed. Jesus, in this temptation, was enticed. Don't you think that Jesus wasn't hungry? The devil even tempted him with worship. Worship is an interesting thing. It's an old Anglo-Saxon word that means worship, according to David Bishop in a study I done a long time ago on worship. But worship can be identified basically in a nutshell as to what you're loyal to. Now, I'm not picking. God knows I'm not picking. But you ask yourself, am I more loyal to XYZ than I am the Lord? Let me pick on the preacher. I can do that and get by with it. You can't. I love going fishing. But I don't love going fishing on Sunday morning. So how would you feel if I had Brother Tim, I'll pick on him, he's on the front row closest to me. If I had Brother Tim come up here on Sunday morning and Brother Tim said, well, folks, James is going to preach today because Pastor went fishing this morning on Sunday morning. Well, he's the pastor. No. No. Well, he's the pastor. Will you go on church night? Well, Sunday night? You on Wednesday night? You watch the tube? You go here, you go there, and we're here at church, and I'm looking at empty pews. I think I stated my case. Worship. You're going to be loyal. You're going to worship what you love. And I'm not going down the list. That's not necessary. Next verse. When we look at this, we see this in verse number 15. He says, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. I'll let Brother Scott continue on that lesson. But he said, it bringeth forth sin. Sin, missing the mark. Missing the mark, we understand it is sin. But sin is not getting caught with your hand in the cookie jar. Sin is when you're grieved over the things that you have done that has grieved the heart of God, and you know it. And the only true remedy for sin is repentance. And I'll preach that message later. And he says that when it is finished, look at this, it bringeth forth death. That's another message, scripture for tonight's service, and we'll get into it later. How many people have yielded their lives over to the devil, and then somewhere at their point in their life, they'll turn back time and they'll look back at their life and they'll say, oh, how I wish I'd have never done that. And see, this preacher loves you enough to tell you the truth. Because stay away from sin, those things that are contrary to God. I've got to do this because it's come up in my heart several times while I've been preaching. And again, I just had very few notes and I tried to remember a lot of that I had studied. But I want you to look at this for just a minute. Then we're going to end up right here around this area. Just bear with me for just a moment. In the book of Romans, and then you can decide if you're walking in the Spirit or if you're walking hand in hand with the devil. Whether you're obeying the flesh or whether you're obeying God. When we look in Romans chapter 8, let me just mention these really quick, really fast. He said in verse number 5, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh." Those yearnings, those longings, those desires that gratify the flesh, that long for the flesh, that puts the flesh on open display and hides Jesus somewhere over in the corner that people can't tell whether you're a Christian or not. I'm just preaching. "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh." And again, and I mentioned this Wednesday night, this is not legalism, man's legalism. This is the Bible that's going to teach you as a Christian, Christ-like, it's going to teach you to live a life that is a sanctified life, a life that is separated from the things of the world. Brother Scott handled it great this morning. There are people that say, "Well, you got to sin a little bit every day." No, you don't. Quit believing that lie of the devil. Quit buying into that. He says in the scripture, he said, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, and they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit." So you decide whether you're walking after the things of the flesh or you're walking in the spirit. If you're walking in the spirit, you do mind the things of the spirit. If you're walking in the flesh, by the flesh, under the dominance and the control of the flesh, you're going to mind the things of the flesh. You're going to be controlled by that. Then he says in verse 6, when you look at that, he says, "For to be carnally minded is death." There that word death is again. "But to be spiritually minded is life and peace." How many of you want life and peace? Say amen. I do. And then he says we've got to walk in the spirit to receive that. Verse 7 says, "Because the carnal mind is enmity, an enemy of God," the Bible says, "against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be." It takes a redeemed heart. It takes a born-again experience to be subject to the things of God. Then he says, "So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." I didn't write the book. Somebody else wrote it. I'm just Paul to the Romans. But ye are not in the flesh. Come on, church. But in the spirit. Come on now. "If so be the spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none his." Verse 10 says, "And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is alive because of righteousness." Look in verse 11. "But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you." Go back to the book of James for just a minute. Then I'll let you go. I'm going to shut this notebook. That way I'll quit. Look at this book of James. 1, what did we get to? 12 or 13? 15. "Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, it bringeth forth death." Next verse. Verse 16. "Do not err, my beloved brethren." 17. "Every good and perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." When we look at Jesus' temptation, Jesus was able to handle the enemy. And there's a lot more teaching and preaching that goes into this, trust me. But one of the things that I wanted to point out was actually in the book of Luke that Matthew don't say, that when Jesus comes down in the latter part of that, and Jesus in verse number 12, he says that he would give his angels charge over him, and if he had leaped down from the pinnacle of the temple, if you will, that is over in the book of Psalms 91:11. We'll look at that later. Again, he says in verse 12, "And Jesus answering said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Jesus passed the test in verse 13. He comes back and he says, "When the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season." We know that he departed from Jesus for a season because Jesus, this is not the last place that Jesus dealt with the devil. I'll mention some of those tonight, God willing. But I guess I want to say it like this because I don't really have an official ending in front of me. To submit yourself therefore unto God, resist the devil, and he'll flee. True submission is when we yield ourselves to the Lord. Remember Isaiah that said, Lord, here am I. How many of you remember that? I want you to stand with me today. And again, I know these thoughts was a lot of stuff that is still forthcoming on this particular study. We're going to get into some stuff tonight. But let me ask you a question. Serious question. Are you yielded to the Lord the way you know in your heart that God is calling for you to be yielded to Him? Isaiah said, Lord, here am I. But he says, I am a man of unclean lips. I am a man of unclean lips. And he says he took a coal from off the altar and he purged his lips. He cleansed his lips. And then he said, Lord, once he was cleansed, he said, Lord, here am I. As you bow your head, close your eyes, maybe there's things in your life that the Holy Spirit has revealed unto you today while I've been preaching. I'm not here to judge nobody. I honestly am not here to judge nobody. I got enough problems of my own. But I am here today to ask you this one question. If Jesus came today, would you be ready to meet Him? Would you be ready to hear Him well, say, well done, or would you hear Him say, depart from me, for I never knew you? See, it's only the saved, it's only the redeemed, it's only those that has Jesus in their heart that's got the victory. It's only those that's got Jesus in their heart that will ever be able to hear Him say, well done. So today, as your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, and you just praying and thinking to yourself, Lord, am I really where I need to be today? And if you're not ready to meet the Lord today, why don't you give yourself the best Sunday morning you possibly could give yourself today and ask the Lord Jesus to come into your heart to be your Savior, to be your Lord, to be your Master. You say, preacher, I don't know how to do that. You just be honest with God today and you just say this prayer and know that when you say it, you're not just repeating a prayer after the preacher, but you're telling Jesus Himself to come into your heart to save you. So if you want everybody to pray this with me, you can. Lord Jesus Christ, I come to you today, a sinner in need of a Savior. I acknowledge today, Lord, that I have sinned and fallen short. I ask you, Lord Jesus, today to come into my heart. Forgive me of all of my sins. Forgive me for all the times I failed you. Forgive me for all the times you've let me down. Lord, I confess today that I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. But today the Bible says if I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart the Lord Jesus Christ, that I shall be saved. And today I confess the Lord Jesus as my Savior. I accept Jesus and His work on Calvary. I accept His resurrection. I accept what Jesus did to cleanse me of all my sins. I confess Him today. I believe in my heart that Jesus died and rose again. So Lord, I confess my sins. I confess you with my mouth. So Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Save me today. Cleanse me today. Wash me today. Wash my heart. Wash away all of my sins. and cleanse me from all my iniquity. And Lord, upon my confession, I pray, Father God, that you would help me to live for you all the days of my life. And Father, I ask you this in Jesus' name. And if you want to come and just stand around the altar with others, if you need prayer today, whatever you need from God, just let God do it. Let God do it. Let God do a work in your heart. Let God do a work in your life. Maybe you're here today, a young person, and we're not going to pick on our young people, but young person, maybe you're here today and life's been hard for you. Maybe you've drifted away from the Lord, and maybe you've just drifted, and maybe you just say, God, I want to renew myself to you. I want to renew my vow to you, Lord. I want to acknowledge today that I have done wrong and I have sinned and I've drifted away. And today, Lord Jesus, I want to come and dedicate my heart. I want to come and renew myself. I want to come and just renew myself and give myself back to you. Maybe you're here as a prodigal. Maybe you've been drifting. You've been drifting a long time. I believe today the Father is saying, welcome home. Come back home. Come back home. He's standing there with arms open wide. We think of God sometimes with an old man with a baseball bat getting ready to warp you upside the head if you come back to him. No, that's not who we serve today. God is a loving God and a loving Heavenly Father. And he's just saying, come home. Come back to me. I still love you. And God said in the garden, I don't want to get into that, but God said, I missed our fellowship. I missed our times together. So don't miss this opportunity today. If there's others that want to join in behind these and pray today, come on. Let's pray for these folks today in Jesus' name. He's worthy. He's on the throne. The devil is defeated. You're more than a conqueror. You've got the victory today. Go in peace. Ladies is going to meet in the conference room. And I'll see everybody tonight. Tim, you do anything this evening? 4:30. It is for the Easter play tonight as well. Meet you there. God bless you. Have a great afternoon. We'll see you a little later today.